WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Thursday morning. And we are now through, I believe, two votes now at the conclave to try to select the next pope. But we've got somebody here that can help break it all down for us. Somebody who we've had here before working in the newsroom, but now is here on the other side of the newsroom glass. Brian Fraga is here with us from the National Catholic Reporter. What is your title over there? Are you a reporter, an editor?
I'm a reporter. I cover events pertaining to the Catholic Church.
And so as part of that, I mean, there's always something going on. I mean, I see you've got stuff all the time, these great in-depth pieces that you're writing, but I can't imagine anything gets the kind of attention on coverage like a conclave will.
Oh, absolutely. This is the major news event that we will have covered by far. Really, this began with the sudden death of the last pope on Easter Monday, and it's been like all hands on deck ever since then.
So, and I guess, you know, there's the appropriate time of mourning that they have before they do this. What was it? Is it 8 days?
9 days.
So, yeah,
and during that 9-day period, there are masses and homilies, and so and also during that time, the cardinals from around the world, they all travel to Rome, and they meet and they confer, and they begin already then talking about the vision of what they think the Catholic Church needs in the next pope.
So the politicking already really began well before they got together.
Exactly.
And I guess, you know, as part of that, so we have to kind of break this down a little bit, because from a spiritual perspective, you know, the idea is that, you know, how would you describe the role of the pope in terms of being a spiritual leader?
Yeah, so the pope is seen as a source of unity for the Catholic Church. His role is partly to safeguard the deposit of faith as is understood among Catholics. He's a spiritual leader. He's like the universal pastor, like in a way. And he's, you know, and like it's a very like complex role being pope, because you're also not just a spiritual leader, but you're also a head of state.
Well, so I was going to ask, there's also a political side to it
exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, we often hear that, you know, the president of the United States is the most powerful person on earth, but the pope wields a lot of power himself.
Oh, absolutely. No other politician or political statesman can say, you know, like has among his titles being the vicar of Christ, for example,
right.
You know, and whose office is more than 2,000 years old, and who can cite to the Bible, you know, for establishing his office.
And so in this particular case, you know, we're going to talk about some of these candidates, but you're picking somebody who is not somebody that's going to be voted again on in 4 years or 2 years or however long, like a politician be elected, or 6 years or whatever. This is somebody who technically is appointed for life, although we have seen most recently with Pope Benedict, but also Other popes have stepped down in the past too.
Yeah, there's a precedent going back centuries that, you know, that the idea, you know, for the most part, the understanding is that the papacy is a lifelong office, but there's also a tradition that is, you know, that it's a ministry as well, and so we have seen, I mean, it's very rare by historical standards, but we have seen instances where popes have stepped down and resigned, and as you mentioned, the most recent one being Pope Benedict in 2005.
Which, by the way, I saw...
Sorry, 2013, I mean.
I don't know if you saw Father Guido Sarducci was on with Stephen Colbert.
Yes, I did see that.
And his prediction is that Pope Benedict will come back for a second papacy. And when he was informed that he was deceased, he said, well, no, he's not. He faked it. So I don't think that that's going to happen. But there are a number of candidates that that are vying for the papacy this time around.
That there are. And like it's seen as a wide open race. I don't know if I should say that word race, but... But the field is wide open, and a few of what we call Papa Billy, or men who could be Pope, have emerged in this field. Some of the ones that we often hear about it would be Cardinal Pietro Parolin. He's the current Secretary of State for the Vatican. Is also Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa. He's the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem.
I think
just that name.
I would say he's the sentimental favorite from the casual observers.
Absolutely, you know, and it would be a shame for him, you know, not to keep that name if he were elected.
Right, like be like Pope Pizza,
exactly.
Pope Pizza the First,
exactly.
And what was the Colbert joke? If Domino's doesn't get on that and have a pizza ball in relation to this, like there, but that's the thing is like so many people. They don't know anything about these candidates. You know, Catholics around the world, they don't know anything about who these people are. They're learning about them. And then, you know, they're going to have who they want to see be the next person based on where they think they would take the church's doctrine going forward.
Right, exactly. You know, and the big question right now among the field is like, will the next pope continue on Pope Francis's the trajectory that he set for the Catholic Church in terms of being more wide open, more accommodating, more pastoral, more trying to reach out to the poor and those on the margins of society. So there's that question: is the next pope going to be in line with Francis, or is the next pope going to offer some kind of course correction, or some would like to see the pope take the church back into more of a quote unquote conservative direction, mm-hmm. like what we saw under John Paul II or even Benedict.
I think, you know, and again, you know way more than I do. I'm only saying this as a casual observer, but I think that the Pope Francis' decision to be more welcoming, not only was that part of his personality, but I think that that was also a strategic decision because at the time, you know, the Catholic Church is hemorrhaging numbers of membership, and by making it more open and accessible to people, more people that wanted to be part of it but felt like they were on the outside of it or that the church had left them behind, they could come back into the fold. But now I think from that same perspective, you might do better in terms of recruitment and advancing the followers, building the flock, if you go in a more conservative direction, because you have just more conservative people that are paying attention to things from that side. And I think you're going to, like, you could go in either direction and still build the following
right.
Going forward.
Right, exactly. You know, Pope Francis did a lot to energize, like, what is sometimes called the Catholic left, which had been pretty demoralized under the previous two papacies, you know. But so, you know, and by Catholic left, I mean people who, for example, want to see like more roles for women mm-hmm. in the Catholic Church, or who believe that women should be deacons, for example, at the very least. You know, Pope Francis, you know, and when he took the papacy in 2013, the Catholic Church, you know, was on the receiving ends of a lot of negative headlines mm-hmm. and publicity, especially as it pertained to issues like the clergy sex abuse crisis, you know, as well as like various other petty scandals at the Vatican. So Pope Francis really offered what was, at the very least, like a public relations boon for the Catholic Church. You know, he really helped to change the narrative, one of like this scandal-ridden institution to one that was, you know, that was trying to roll out the welcome mat for people who had felt alienated from the church, like such as gay and lesbian and transgendered Catholics. He really did a lot to make them feel at home in the church.
And growing up, you know, I grew up at, you know, obviously being kids, we're around the same age. So we grew up under Pope John Paul II. And, you know, even I wasn't a Catholic. I knew who he was and I knew, you know, what he was all about and what he stood for. And he seemed like that fatherly figure to Catholics. And I feel like, you know, Benedict wasn't really, he seemed a little bit harsher to people, even Catholics. And that Francis kind of brought back some of that, you know, fatherly sense that is what you're looking for in a pope. So with all these candidates that are on the table, have some favorites emerged? I know there's been two votes already, but right. You're never going to get a pope on the first try.
No, that's extremely rare. Like the first try, the first ballot is usually just sort of the cardinals all just putting out who they think like their own personal favorite is, and then it usually takes a couple days for like a consensus to emerge. It takes about two-thirds. So out of this conclave, it's going to take about 89 votes to confirm a pope. I think we're probably going to see a white smoke before the weekend. So by at the latest by tomorrow afternoon, possibly. I wouldn't be shocked if we were to see it later. This evening or this afternoon Rome time. That wouldn't shock me to see that. So as to who the favorites are, Cardinal Parolin, he walked into the conclave being seen as a, you know, as probably one of the most likely candidates just based on his position at the Vatican as Secretary of State, although he gave a homily at a mass recently that was seen as kind of a dud, so people were talking about, you know, if his stock was beginning to fall because of that. You know, the horse races, you know, especially the Italian media loves to engage in. It's, you know, it's very difficult to know really what the cardinals are thinking.
And if it was, you know, it wouldn't be as dramatic for people to be following along with. And speaking of dramatics, I'm sure you saw the film Conclave.
Sure.
How accurate is that? I mean, obviously the storyline is probably not something that's going on in the Sistine Chapel right now. But in terms of the procedure and the way that it's handled.
In terms of the procedure, I thought it was very accurate in terms of like how they compile the ballots, the way that the actual voting is conducted, very accurate. The only thing that I would nitpick with that film would be you know, most of the politicking, you know, that you saw in that film, it happened right like during the actual conclave. Mm-hmm. But in real life, most of the politicking, the maneuvering, really happens like in the days and weeks before they actually go into the Sistine Chapel.
And let's face it, it probably started quite a while ago because Pope Francis was in ill health for quite a while.
Sure.
and you know, was in some dire straits for a long time. So they've already started this. So with that in mind, you know, the politicking, forgive my ignorance in this, but how much do they look at the selection of this pope as being something that God has influence on when it's the cardinals who are the ones that are voting?
Right. This concept that the Holy Spirit has a role to play in the selection of the pope. And so if you were to ask any cardinal that was walking into the chapel, into the Sistine Chapel, I think they would tell you, like, yeah, they're going to try, you know, that, yes, that God is involved in this and that it's up to them to try to listen to the voice of the Spirit. I think, like, to a man, that's what pretty much any cardinal would tell you. But, you know, but at the same time, I believe any intellectually honest cardinal would also can see that, you know, that these are people involved, so, you know, and they're not perfect, they're not infallible, so there's going to be some politicking, you know, just based on human nature that's involved. So it's, you know, it's a, you know, it's a, I compare it to, it's a messy mix of the human, you know, and the divine in this whole, like, in this whole affair.
I mean, I guess, you know, the argument to be made is they're there because of a divine calling in the first place. So there was already that influence. Yeah. So in just looking at the favorites, the people who are out there, what is the appetite? You're talking about the direction that the church could go with this next pope. What is the appetite for having, for setting a first, you know, for having a first American or first African or first, you know, any of these things like we've seen with Pope Francis?
Yeah. So as far as having a first American pope, that's been seen as probably a no-go, that an American would have next to impossible chance to be chosen pope, only because of the U.S. being a superpower that it is. There's a hesitancy to wed the papacy to the U.S.'s political power. Although there was one American cardinal who's seen as a real contender, and that's Cardinal Michael Prevost. And but in his case, so that he's an Augustinian, and he spent most of his life, really, at this point, outside the U.S. in various assignments around the world. So I think there's an Italian saying that he's the least American or something to that effect. So that would help him, if anything. As far as, like, you know, it's hard to say, like, what the taste is for change right now among the College of Cardinals.
Because you've got some people who are from other places that have never been selected before who are more conservative.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I just wrote a story about, so there are some traditionalist cardinals who would love, for example, to bring back the Latin Mass if they could, who would like to focus more on doctrine, on hot button issues like abortion or the LGBTQ issue. But the thing is, like, Pope Francis selected right now, like the vast majority of cardinal electors in the conclave. So that's seen as, you know, that collectively, as a result of that, there might be not as big a taste for, like, revolutionary change or like a complete departure from the Francis pontificate, that, you know, that these cardinals that Francis elevated, you know, that, you know, these are men who come from countries from the global south, from countries that previously had never had a cardinal, like Myanmar. So if anything, I think that raises the likelihood that the next pope will be, I think, not looking to totally depart from the Francis pontificate, although, of course, he will put his own stamp on it.
So I guess the final question I have is, do you want to make a prediction? Do you want to throw out a name of who you think it's going to be?
Oh, man. So I guess
it's not like anybody can bet on this. You know, the betting sites aren't taking bets on the pope.
No, actually, they are.
Oh, are they? Well, not in Massachusetts, you can't.
Right.
Anyway.
Not Massachusetts, but I did see about a week ago several of the major online booking sites have been taking bets on who the next pope is going to be, and several of those have been who probably get the most attention in the media, like Cardinal Parolin, but also Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle from the Philippines, Cardinal Matteo Zuppi from the Italian Bishops Conference. My sentimental favorite would be Cardinal Mendonça, only because he's Portuguese. He's from Madeira, and his father was a fisherman. So it'd be cool to have, like, a, you know, pope who's the son of a Portuguese fisherman. I would love to see that, but. Yeah, that's my own.
Well, I think that's going to be the listener's favorite.
Absolutely,
now, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. South Coast, absolutely.
So how can people follow along with your coverage if they want to read your stories?
they are more than welcome to follow online. Our site is ncronline.org, and we've been having stories every day on the conclave, and we will continue doing so until the white smoke emerges.
And if you have any kind of poll, you know, if you want to get the next pope to call in, I'll give you the VIP line. You can pass it on.
Definitely will do.
Although I don't speak any other languages, so it might be a little bit of a language barrier. Brian, thank you for coming in and joining us, and we look forward to reading your coverage.
My pleasure, Tim.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
New Fed rates remain unchanged, additional flu deaths for children in the Northeast, and a new category added to the Golden Globes.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The CDC is reporting 216 pediatric flu deaths, with 25 of those in New York. Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald says that's the highest number ever recorded in the Empire State. 24 of the 25 children who died had not received a flu shot, with five of those too young to get the vaccine. Three former Memphis officers have been found not guilty in the Tyre Nichols murder trial.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Demetrius Haley, not guilty.
They were charged with beating Nichols to death back in 2023 that was caught on video. The trio was found not guilty on all charges. They already face the possibility of years in prison after they were convicted of federal charges last year. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The White House is withdrawing the nomination of Dr. Jeanette Nishewat to serve as the U.S. Surgeon General. The decision comes days after Laura Loomer criticized the nominee of previously supporting the COVID vaccine, while also accusing her of promoting DEI-focused initiatives. President Trump confirmed the decision on Truth Social, where he announced he will be picking a new person for the position. The Federal Reserve leaving interest rates unchanged. It comes as recent economic reports have sent mixed signals on the state of the economy. Inflation still remains above the central bank's target of 2%. It's also mentioning tariffs implemented by the White House. The Golden Globes adding a new annual category debuting in 2026. Organizers of the awards show announced yesterday that a new Best Podcast of the Year will be introduced. The awards show looks to honor its heritage categories while making room for new voices and formats. 25 podcasts will qualify with 6 final nominations for the award. More than 30 Republicans are warning House GOP leadership about a major bill being crafted in Congress.
The letter, which was addressed to Speaker Mike Johnson and Majority Leader Steve Scalise, reaffirmed Republican support for President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill, but it also noted the need for strict adherence to the House's blueprint for the plan. The letter comes as Republicans have been working to come to an agreement on key components of the legislation, including tax policy and Medicaid cuts. The House looks to move on the forthcoming bill by the end of the month. I'm Brian Shook.
The judge in the Brian Koberger murder trial will allow his family members to be in the courtroom for the entire trial.
The prosecution wanted Brian Koberger's family excluded to avoid having their testimony affected by other witnesses. The judge ruled the scope of their testimony would be narrow and different from others giving testimony. They were also recorded with video during their interviews. Koberger is accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students in 2022. His trial is set for August. I'm Brad Ford.
New Hampshire is becoming the first state in the country to establish a crypto reserve. The legislation was adopted on Tuesday, and it enables the treasurer to invest up to 5% of New Hampshire's state funds into precious metals and digital assets. The metals and assets must have a market cap of more than $500 billion, and Bitcoin will be the asset used to fill the stockpile. The decision gives digital assets a win after several other states rejected similar legislation. Yesterday was the deadline for real IDs if you're planning on flying. Most airports operated smoothly on the first day of the realigned duty requirement.
Reports from several major airports indicate smooth implementation with minimal passenger disruption. Officials say passengers without a real ID card may still be able to fly, but will face additional screening and will have to wait in a separate line. All real ID cards are marked with a star in the upper right-hand corner, regardless of the state in which they're issued. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WBSM Sports.
The Knicks took game two over the Celtics last night, 91-90. They head on to New York for game three on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. And the Red Sox beat the Rangers 6-4. They play again at 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not a bad Thursday on tap, waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-50s here on the South Coast. Later this afternoon, we're in a mix of sun and clouds. Clouds increase, though, later in the day. Temperatures in the afternoon getting into the upper 60s and low 70s. If you're inland, that's when you're going to see those temperatures start with a 7. We are looking at not just that extra cloud cover, though, but a couple of showers, even a rumble of thunder, not out of the question as we move through the evening. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Gone on so long, but I can't not play the chorus. Now that's going to be in your head for the rest of the day. My favorite story about that is when that video first premiered on MTV, I don't know all the Hanson kids. I know Isaac's the oldest one. I think Taylor's the middle one and Zach's the little one. I think I might have that right. But anyway, the little one, he was watching the video and he goes, "Oh, who's that hot girl that was in our video? I don't remember that girl being in the video." And it turns out it was his brother. So it was what, Taylor? Is that the middle one? Anyway, all the Hanson fans out there are screaming at me, "How do you not know their names?" I don't know. I just know that one song. But it's a great one. If you're going to be known for one song for the rest of your life, what was in the 90s I thought was the most annoying song ever is now one of the best songs ever. So, well, we've got something to let you know about. As you heard there, the news was brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And today is actually a really good day to stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, because from 4 to 6 p.m., they're going to have Mad River Distillers there. Jake from Mad River is going to be there. And first of all, Jake is a very knowledgeable guy. He is going to teach you all about not just the Mad River products, but whiskey, bourbon, rye, how it's all made, how it's all comprised. He's very knowledgeable, but he can, you know, dumb it down for the rest of us. And he's going to be there talking about the product, and you're going to get to try the Burnt Rock bourbon, their straight bourbon. You get to try the maple cask rum and, my favorite, the Revolution rye. And, of course, if you decide to buy any of those while you're there, anything that they're tasting, 10% off. And you can always get 10% off if you join Stevie's Rackhouse Club. You'll get 10% off all your whiskey and bourbon purchases. So maybe inquire about that while you're there, and do it now while you can still get the May bag for the Rackhouse Club, because there's a really good one in the bag for this month. I enjoyed it very much. So check it out. Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. The home of the purple dot, where you can try anything that has a purple dot next to it before you buy it. And where you might see me today for that tasting. Again, Mad River Distillers, and it's happening from 4 to 6 p.m. All right, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. We were talking about the trash situation along the rail route in New Bedford. The city council in tonight's meeting, the three of the counselors, Ward 3 Counselor Sean Oliver, Ward 1 Counselor Leo Chiquette, Ward 2 Counselor Maria Giesta, they have all filed this motion to have letters sent out to the MBTA, to MassDOT, to the local delegation, to the Mitchell administration to find out who's going to go pick up the trash that's out there and who should be picking up the trash out there on a regular basis. And as I mentioned earlier, I went over to Church Street Station yesterday to take some photos for this story, assuming that I would see some trash somewhere based on what I saw when I was on the train and what Barry saw and wrote about when he was on the train. But I didn't see any around, really. There was a couple of pieces of trash here and there, but that's going to happen on a daily basis. There was a tire for some reason, like right at the Church Street Station, but I didn't know if that was there for a particular reason. So I didn't really see anything. I went over to Nash Road and walked a little bit of the tracks and went up against the fence line and was looking at the tracks, and I didn't see anything there either. So I'm sure had I got on the train and gone from Church Street to Whalestooth or Whalestooth to Church Street, I could have gotten some photos of it, but I didn't see anything, at least right there. But plenty of people have been talking about it, and as Councillor Oliver said, is that what we want people to see when they're coming into our city? You know, the first thing they see, the first time they realize they're in New Bedford is when they get to Church Street. And then you're like looking around, you're like, oh, this looks nice. Oh, well, except for like the back of these buildings over here. But, you know, this looks nice. And then you're excited because you're going to start going into like the downtown area and the waterfront and all that. But along the way, you're seeing a bunch of trash. Is that really the image that you want to project? But while we're talking about the train, check out Arthur Hirsch's piece at newbedfordlight.org, because he actually went and talked to some of the local businesses and museums and attractions and asked them and said, you know, what are you seeing? Are you seeing people coming off the train? And for the most part, they said they are. A couple of the restaurants said, you know, they hadn't really seen a bump. But, you know, Black Whale said they had seen a bump. So I'm just going to, you know, make the assumption that if you're coming off the train and going and checking out New Bedford, like you're going to encounter Black Whale first. Right. So that's like, okay, I'm going to go there before I go and take a right and walk across Route 18 to go over to some of these other restaurants. So they'll find their way over there eventually the next time they come, when they go to try something else. But at least, you know, we're seeing people and hearing people coming and saying, as Arthur quotes many of the people pointing out, they're not just coming on the train. They're telling people that they came there on the train. Like they're excited. They're bragging about it. Like, they want you to know that they're from out of town. So hopefully we start to see, you know, more of that in the coming weeks as we get into the summer season. Because we know people are getting on the train here and going to Boston for different things. I've talked to plenty of people who have done that, gone to the museums, you know, spent the day at Boston Common, whatever it may be. But it seems like, well, what matters more to us, I should say, is how many people are coming here. And these are the people you want to come here, because they come down here, they spend money, they post a bunch of photos on social media about all the places they checked out, and then they go home. So you're getting the tourism, the revenue, and then they go home. So we should be encouraging more of that. And one thing that was pointed out is they would like, and this came from the people who were quoted, the passengers who were quoted, they would like to see some signage at the station that directs them to some of the attractions, that tells them exactly where to go. So why isn't the city's tourism department jumping on this? I mean, maybe they are and they just haven't announced anything yet, but I would be jumping on that. I would have signage down there. I would also have a QR code as soon as you step off the train to download an app that gives you the exact walking coordinates to get to all of these things. And I know I'm probably giving away an idea here on the air that I could have just made myself and sold to the city, but I want to see somebody do it. 508-996-0500. I've got to take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, welcome back in. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. But before we do, I want to tell you, if you're going to start preparing to throw something on the grill for Memorial Day weekend, start thinking now about going to the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. It is the place to go to get all of your meat. You're going to get high-quality stuff there, cut exactly the way you want it, not pre-packaged the way that the butcher at the supermarket wants to have it done. And by the way, when I say butcher at the supermarket, I mean somebody who got hired to cut meat. And then they just train them how to cut meat the way the supermarket cuts meat. When you go to the butcher shop, the Pinarettas are true, real butchers. They know how to do it the right way, and they will take care of you. So check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Tomorrow we'll check in with Eric for Fun Friday, and we'll talk with him about some of the things they'll have going on over there this weekend. By the way, tomorrow's Fun Friday question comes from Emily in New Jersey, and I'll just give you a little tease. It has to do with TV moms for Mother's Day. So start thinking about that, and we'll discuss it tomorrow. Fun Fridays on WBSM, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. We'll talk a little hot dogs tomorrow as well. Let's take a phone call, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, how's it going, Tim? Good morning.
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, prior to your break, I think you highlighted one of the biggest issues going on in New Bedford, a lack of vision, a lack of forethought. You came up with a simple solution to some of the concerns or basically to help people who are coming to New Bedford to explore and eat at our restaurants, so on and so forth. But don't we have a tourism department?
We do.
Isn't that something that they should have thought of? Or, I mean, they only had 30 years to think about it. So I'm sure in the past, and not only that, but then the train was delayed. So they had extra time to think about it. And none of this was done. Nobody thought, like, hey, let's do something to drum up business for our people in the downtown area.
And I get that the train launched a little bit earlier than expected. Originally, they were targeting May. So, you know, maybe they were planning something on that timeline and they have something that's going to be released before Memorial Day. But I haven't heard anything about it, if that's the case.
Yeah, but not only that, it was supposed to open last year and it got delayed. Remember? It got
True.
They made the announcement that they were going to delay it to this year. So they had a whole nother year to create these concepts. And I see that as one of the biggest obstacles in New Bedford. I mean, even down to the trash, like they haven't figured out, like out of everything that they had to plan and develop, they didn't figure out whose responsibility it was going to be to clean up the trash. I mean, it's the same thing in the south end of New Bedford. You have one of the most beautiful places in the city right down by the beach, and the trashes are always overflowing. It's getting blown into the ocean, and that's what people see. So, I mean, I understand we want to create and we want to build and we want to develop, but let's start off by building the foundation, right, and making sure that all of the pieces of the puzzle are there prior to doing whatever we're going to do, you know? And I don't know.
Oh, I agree.
Maybe it's just rocket science, I guess.
I don't think it is, but you're absolutely right. They had plenty of time to plan, and you know, it should have been ready to go whenever they launch the service. Just press the button and activate the app or what have you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems like everything's, I don't want to use the word backwards when we think of things.
Right. No, what do we do? We put a billboard up on Route 18 promoting New Bedford tourism when people are already in New Bedford. So, all right, you have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, we got to take a break here. Callers, hang on. We'll wrap things up with you, but I got to get this last break in. We'll be right back. All right, so listen up. Other dummies like me who are waiting to the last minute to get your mom something for Mother's Day. You can make it seem like you didn't forget by going to the Potting Bench Florists and Gifts in Fairhaven, because with their stunning floral arrangements, fresh cut stems, lush European garden baskets, hanging plants, and all kinds of gifts, big and small, they're going to make it look like you put a lot of thought into Mother's Day, even though you're just going to go over there and ask Danielle and her team, help, I don't know what to get my mom. Trying to get her something a little bit different than the usual gift card or scratch tickets, or is that impersonal? Is that too impersonal? Nobody else does that. If you're trying to look for something a little bit more meaningful, something that mom will hang on to for years, or something that'll just brighten up her day on Mother's Day. You can find it all at Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, 2 Sarah's Way, inside the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven. But get on over there today or tomorrow, because you're going to run out of time to make sure that your flowers and gifts get on their delivery truck. They will be open Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 3 for pickup only. So get over there and get your make your decisions now. By the way, the more, you know, the earlier you go today, that just makes it look like you put more thought into Mother's Day and that you actually planned for it, right? Instead of waiting for the last minute, like going on Sunday and just getting her a card at CVS and all of that. So again, Potting Bench Floors and Gifts, 2 Sarah's Way, inside the CVS Plaza in Fairhaven. Let's finish off with some calls here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Ken. Billy Sheffield.
How you doing?
Good. You know, I listen to you guys when you talk and say things, you know, and you hit the thing right on the button when you were telling that how to terrorism, you know, and you made a comment about you're giving the idea, and then you said that you could have done it and sold it to him. Okay? Now, you know, you sound like Brian Gomes. He comes up with the ideas, but he never follows through. You said, let somebody else do it. So it's like Brian Gomes. He comes up with the ideas, but he never follows through on them. But you sounded just like him. That's all I want to say.
Well, I appreciate it. It's his job to follow up on him. It's, you know, I don't have to worry about it. But definitely something his job is to follow up.
You hit it right on a button when you, and you had an idea for selling it back to the city. But then you, that's what Brian does. He comes up with the ideas and he never follows through. So you just sounded like Brian Goldman. That's all I wanted to throw.
All right. And in the 10 seconds I got before the end of the hour, I'm going to ask you, Gilly, do you know who the Pope is going to be? I know you had a pick for police chief, but do you have a pick for the Pope?
No, I don't. But I, can I say something?